Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the 13th, April 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on The Voice, KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we simulcast this program on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And there are three locations, three venues for anytime listening. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com, also carrying the program. Today's Friday Focus interview is with Attorney Jeff Rogers. Mr. Rogers, the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, joining me to question Jeff Rogers is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Rogers, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. The Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah, good to see you. And Jeff, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Bill.
We have the Tuesday primary and the special CD8 election coming up this Tuesday. And the Democrats have coalesced behind Ron Barber. Ron will go on to face the winner of the four-way Republican primary. Already, even though there is not a winner in that primary, the attacks have begun on Ron Barber. The GOP has been spending, I think it's over $100,000 so far.
We checked this morning. It was $111,000 that the Arizona GOP has spent in negative attack ads and negative robocalls against Ron. And, that's on top of the fact that they're sitting on an $88,000 debt with the state Republican Party. So clearly it means somebody's funneling the money to the party from somewhere outside, and then they're spending it immediately because they certainly didn't spend it on their $88,000 debt.
That mailer, which was sent to Tucson households, seemed to focus on a couple of areas that are kind of hot button issues for folks. Certainly they were implying that Mr. Barber would support cuts to Medicare and would cut Medicare benefits for seniors, and that he would make other cuts, raising energy bills and on and on and on.
Well, I think that we've seen the first indication of what this campaign's going to be like. If you don't have anything to run on and you don't have any positive candidates or really good candidates, what are you going to do? You're going to throw out lies and mud, and that's what they're up to so far. I mean, absolutely nothing in those robocalls or in the mailers that have gone out are true. I mean, it's just this is, I guess, a hint of where we're going to go with, Koch Brothers money and the various kinds of outside interest groups and super PACs that are going to come in here under Citizens United and just smear the good name of people instead of running a positive issues-oriented campaign.
I wanted to get your thoughts on how the Republican primary is shaping up. We have the four candidates, the votes on Tuesday. A lot of early voting has already been going on, and I know you're chair of the Democratic Party, but I just wanted to, what do you expect to see on Tuesday? Do you think we'll be surprised?
I don't know. I followed this very closely. I mean, just because I'm a Democrat doesn't mean I'm not terribly fascinated by what's going on in that race. And I see some strange things. For instance, Dave Sitton is sitting on a large amount of cash here. And, you wonder why he wasn't spending this money early and often since he was the best funded of them. And, Kelly seems to have spent his money as fast as it was coming in, which is what I would advise somebody to do. And, and they are also, with Jesse Kelly having run before, barely losing, you would think he would be a big front runner and the rest of the other three would be attacking him. And I haven't seen that. I mean, you would think they would be trying to show how different they are. But in the debates that I've watched and some of that we've recorded, it doesn't sound like there's a dime's worth of difference between these four candidates on their views on any of the issues, except for Jesse Kelly's ignorance on energy policy.
And we had Frank Antonori, who was coming in fourth as far as the fundraising. What does that tell you?
I think Frank's just not ready for the big leagues. I mean, this is his second run at Congress, and he finished pretty far back in the pack the last time, and he looks to me like he's probably going to finish dead last this time. I mean, $37,000, that's not even enough to run a privately funded legislative race. I mean, that's about what you'd get in clean elections money. Maybe he's just a little too used to running in the little leagues and it's not ready for the AAA or the big leagues yet.
12:10 on the Buckmaster Show. Jeff Rogers is the Friday Focus interview. Mr. Rogers is the chair of Pima County Democratic Party. Sarah Garrett Gasson is editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. She is with us as well.
And I wanted to look past this first special election, which, as we said, the primary is for the Republicans because Ron Barber, the Democratic candidate, is running unopposed. And then that happens in June. But looking past that and going into the November election, if I'm not mistaken, Ron will face Matt Hines and Nomiki Konst, and I apologize to her if I have mispronounced her name.
A young lady, I believe she's about. Right. I think she's about 28 years old. Former
yeah,
U of
I think
A
it's
student.
More Konst.
Konst. Okay.
That's,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I was just wondering, are you surprised to see that Mr. Barber will be facing the two people going into the general election on the Democratic side?
Well, I'll reserve judgment on that. If he wins the special general election in June, I fully expect people to back away from that race. I think they're sitting there thinking, well, we need to be there just in case is probably what they're thinking about right now. I can't see them being very viable if he does indeed win, which I expect him to do the general election in June.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, well, I was wondering, do you think that Ron Barber is – do people perceive him as sort of the next version of Gabby Giffords, you know, given his close association with her as her district director? Or are people beginning to see him as his own man, I mean, with a long career of public service and a lot of ties to the community? How is that playing out?
I think it's playing out very well. He's being seen, and I believe he's a person who's not a politician, having never run for public office before, but having been a public servant and a small business owner with his wife, he's somebody with ties to this community dating back to the 50s. He's just and he's a remarkably positive man and extremely well-educated. And of all of the people I've seen running for Congress, I've seen very few people who have a mastery of the issues and the facts underlying those issues as much as Ron does. And so I think voters are going to pretty quickly here separate him from the incidents of January 8th and from Congresswoman Giffords and see him as his own man.
You think he'll try to be as positive as possible in the campaign and try to keep the negative campaigning to a minimum?
I think he will. I think he will. Now, there's no guarantee that other outside groups won't come in on both sides and expose some of the issues. For instance, as we did last time around with Jesse Kelly and some of the outlandish statements he made about privatizing Medicare and cutting Social Security, calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme. I mean, those kinds of things. You know, voters need to know about those things, and I'm not sure that Ron wants to run that kind of a campaign. So you may see other groups coming in reminding people about what he's said.
Jeff Rogers is with us. If you would like to join the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Jeff Rogers, the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me. Sarah, go ahead.
I wanted to ask about Daniel Patterson, who representative from LD-29, and who recently, of course, resigned under the ethics investigation. This, according to the report, the sort of behavior that Mr. Patterson was alleged to have committed, you know, intimidation, bullying, that sort of thing, had been going on for quite a while. What are your thoughts on the ethics investigation, the fact that he resigned, and then if this has been going on for such a long time, why did it take so long to get to where it is?
Well, it's a very sad story for someone's career to be ended that way and for us to go through everything we went through in the state legislature the past few weeks. I was very troubled with how the legislature handled this. Even a murderer gets a fair trial and an appeal process before they hang them.
And you're a defense attorney.
About half my practice is criminal defense and the other half is civil litigation. And so, I believe in our courts of law and I believe they generally get it right. There's sometimes some miscarriages of justice, but you got to remember that this started over criminal charges and orders of protection. That was really the original focus of this. And yet, if you think back to Senator Bundegaard's case, they allowed him to be convicted in a court of law and then move forward on the charges. And he rightfully did resign midway through a hearing process, which is guaranteed in the rules of the House. In Patterson's case, there seemed to be this sort of rush to hang him as quickly as they could. And I must say, disappointingly, that some of that rush came from Democrats more so than Republicans. The Democrats were not even willing to let him stand up and defend himself in a hearing like he did the other day, and the Republicans were the ones who stepped up to bat and sort of gave him somewhat of a day in court. So the process itself was very disappointing to me. I think it sets a very unusual slippery slope and a standard for future kinds of problems with state legislators. I just hope this is not a sign of things to come where let's face it, one of the most argumentative people in the entire legislature is Frank Antonori. As bright as Frank is, he's one of the most brash, people in that place. Is that next? Are we going to say, well, I mean, probably because he's a Republican, that won't happen. But nevertheless, I respect his right to be how he is. And I think that there's a sense in which you can cross over that line and become so hostile as a member of the House that maybe, you shouldn't be there. But,
So you're saying behavior modification maybe next.
Maybe next. I talked to three retired legislators last night who all three came up to me and said, they were real troubled with how this process went, and they said, I don't know any of the facts of whether or not he should have been tossed out of the House, but I didn't like the process that I saw. And that from my perspective as a lawyer, the process is more important than anything. How you get to the result is the most important part of any kind of legal process.
We're going to take a break right here. Coming up on 12:17, it's Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star in our Friday Focus interview with Jeff Rogers. We will continue right after we hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show, and it is Friday Focus, and we have Jeff Rogers with us. He is the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. And let's go back now, Jeff Rogers, to the replacement for Mr. Patterson. The latest word from the Secretary of State being that it would have to be the supervisors, Pima County Board of Supervisors, would have to appoint an independent because Mr. Patterson, at the time of the House resignation, he was an independent. But this could be very questionable.
Well, there is. We believe that the Secretary of State has misread the statute and misinterpreted it, and that we found some Supreme Court case law from other states where this has come up, and they've said that the intent of the law is what governs, and the intent is that it go back to the party that was elected in the election. And so there's that, and there's additionally a part of the Constitution and a statute that tells us that the resignation is effective when it's received by the governor, not when it's read on the House floor. So there's another problem. We don't know when it was, but we know it was probably more than 25 minutes later that it was received by the governor. So there are several legal avenues of attack. Whether or not we want to spend the money and time doing that is being debated right now at the state party right now. I'm advocating that we file the lawsuit and do it because it's a matter of principle. There are others saying it's a waste of time. There's only 10 days left in the session probably, and that there's not much for this person who's going to do that to do unless there are special sessions, some that could prop up during the rest of the year. So,
which could very well happen on the budget because there has been talk of a special session on the budget.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So it may be an important issue for the Democratic Party.
It is. And the other way to look at it, and another reason not to do it, is we are so outnumbered that will that one vote mean anything? Now, there are times when it does. For instance, on this contraception bill that was one or two votes either way that's reared its ugly head again, one or two votes could make a difference there because there are some moderate Republicans that aren't willing to stick their neck out on that issue. So there could be other issues like that where the vote might matter. So I expect we'll have a decision by the end of today on whether or not we're going to litigate the matter.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I wanted to ask about the U.S. Senate race with Richard Carmona running against Jeff Flake to replace outgoing U.S. Senator John Kyle. And the seat has been in Republican hands for quite some time. What do you think about Carmona's chances in terms of getting that back to the Democrats?
We haven't had a candidate this strong since Senator DeConcini, who was a very moderate, if some people say a kind of conservative Democrat. And that's probably what's going to sell in this state, is somebody who's moderate on the issues. And I think Dr. Carmona is an excellent candidate. We haven't had a candidate of this quality in 24 years. And I expect that to be a real race. And I also expect that with the vice president coming in next week in Phoenix and the first lady coming in at the 30th here in Tucson, these are indications that the Obama administration intends to put this state in play, and they intend to fight for that Senate seat as well as fight for the winning Arizona for Obama.
Do you think that's even a remote possibility in terms of it going for Obama?
I think it is a possibility, yes. If things continue the way they are, the negatives for Romney as high as they are, and the economy continues to improve, I think we have a shot at it. I wouldn't put it at 50-50, but I'd put it, maybe 40% chance of winning the state.
The new congressional district maps look like they will be signed off on by the Justice Department. Are you happy with them?
Yes, I think they're a reasonable compromise. I think it gives us the chance to go from the three seats we hold now up to five. I really do believe Ann Kirkpatrick is going to win that District 1. I think that one's going to be in the bag. I think that maybe even CD8's going to be a little more competitive than that one. So I think, and then the new nine that is centered in Phoenix, Tempe, and parts of Mesa. I think that district we have a very strong candidate. Three strong candidates there, and I think we have a good chance of picking that one up as well. So if we won all of those, we'll go up to five seats, the two that are certain with Pastore and Grijalva, and then those other three seats.
It really is rare to have a change in Senate, U.S. Senate mm-hmm. leadership. I was reading, I think, in your paper this morning, the Arizona Daily Star, that it's only happened, I think we've only had 10 or 11 U.S. senators.
Well, that's because some of them served for a really, really long time.
For a very long time. Sarah, any quick question here before we wrap it up?
Well, I just wondered, do you ever get tired of talking and thinking about politics?
No, but this will probably be my last term. 4 years is a long time to give this much of time and effort. And I'm probably going to try to find somebody to run this next time around. But
you did hire, a new executive director?
We did. We hired Wendy Ceballos as our new executive director of the Democratic Party here in Tucson. We'll all miss Adam Kenzie, who served me greatly for 3 years, but is on the staff now of Dr. Carmona's campaign. And we look forward to Wendy being following in those – fill those big shoes.
And Bill Rowe?
Bill Rowe has done a tremendous job so far as a state chair. I wonder if his wife is as pleased as we are because he's spending an awful lot of time up in Phoenix.
State Supreme Court tossing out the law to alter Tucson city elections. Your quick thoughts on that?
I wasn't surprised. I was a little surprised it was unanimous, but I fully expected the decision to go our way on that. The charters are like constitutions, and our the ability to create a city charter is enshrined in the Constitution of the state of Arizona. So we're not a subdivision of the state like counties are and like people think cities are and like cities that are not charter cities are. So we have the right to dictate how we run our government and how we elect the people who are going to run our government.
It's that Supreme Court ruling is one of several that have come down in the not-so-recent past that's kind of slapped down the legislature's attempts to get involved with local issues. I just wondered what your thoughts are
on that.
Well,
almost all of those were failed visions of Jonathan Peyton. We've even taken to calling that one Peyton's Law. And I think it just goes to show you that, when he was a legislator, he had no real respect for Pima County or Tucson. And he continued that after he left the legislature and his failed run for Congress. He continued to be a lobbyist for the town of Marana, and that he was the man responsible for taxpayers getting losing tens of millions of dollars on the sewage treatment plant, which he engineered the giveaway to Marana. He's done an awful lot of harm to the cities and counties of the entire state, but particularly down here.
How do you think he'll do now in his new run for Congress? He's in that district that just has a part of Pinal County, correct?
Yeah, it has a little bit of Pinal County, and it has
strange.
What we consider the worst parts of Pima County, Saddlebrook, Marana,
from your point of view,
and parts of Oro Valley, which were they're so heavily Republican that we have to try not to lose by as much there and make up for it in other parts.
But that district goes all the way north.
It does, all the way north to Flagstaff. I think that Ann Kirkpatrick is going to prevail in that one.
Okay, Jeff Rogers, thank you very much, and we will watch, as you will, very closely to see who emerges from the Republicans on Tuesday, and we'll be facing Ron Barber. That should be a very interesting special election coming up in June. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
You're welcome.
We will continue on the Buckmaster Show. We will have Jimmy Bogle from The Weekly joining us, and Sarah Garrett Gasson sticks around as we talk the top stories of the week on the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Officials say President Obama has decided to step up U.S. aid to the opposition in Syria. They say Mr. Obama has signed off on a package that includes communications gear as well as medical supplies. And Syrian forces used live fire, tear gas, and clubs to beat back tens of thousands of protesters took to the streets across Syria today. However, overall, it appears that the UN-brokered ceasefire is largely holding up. The UN Security Council says it deplores North Korea's failed rocket launch. The UN's most powerful body issued a brief statement after a closed-door meeting earlier today. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 78 points at 12,909, the NASDAQ off 33, the S&P 11 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are going to sound off right now on the top stories of the week. Jimmy Bogle joins us, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, stays over from our interview with Jeff Rogers. We welcome you back to us on the Buckmaster Show. If there is anything you would like to say while we're talking, we would love to hear from you. 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Jimmy Bogle, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
We're doing real well. And Sarah, thanks for staying over now for the Reporters Roundtable. And Sarah, also a big thank you. I want to say it publicly. You helped us out a little bit yesterday on the Daniel Patterson story while it was kind of breaking news about Daniel Patterson and what would be happening concerning the replacement for Daniel Patterson. And we have just learned from Jeff Rogers that if he has his way, and of course he is the Pima County chair, but this is a decision that's going to be made up in Phoenix at the state level, but he wants to go ahead with a lawsuit on this because he says there's several areas, gray areas, that would in fact make Daniel Patterson still a Democrat.
Right, right.
Not an independent.
Right. And the backstory on this is, just to recap briefly, is Daniel Patterson was twice elected as a Democrat. It's a very Democratic district, LD-29. But then he changed his party affiliation to independent during this whole ethics investigation. And then on the other day when the ethics committee voted, you know, we're going to recommend that we expel you as the whole body, he did change his registration back to being a Democrat, but there was like a 25 minutes
there's a difference.
Right. And so at the time he handed his letter of resignation in, he was registered as an independent, even though he later it showed up as a Democrat. So there's some question, as Jeff Rogers was saying, is the resignation official before it gets to the governor? Is it official when you hand it in to the Speaker of the House? There's all these different questions, and I think it'll be really interesting if they do go ahead and decide to sue.
I think it's interesting for political nerds, but honestly, from a practical standpoint, and we all are political nerds.
Are you calling me a nerd?
Yes, I'm calling you a nerd, and I'm with you in that nerddom.
But, right, you are, sir.
Thank you.
We all get kind of I know, Jimmy, what you're saying. We kind of get, as they say, inside baseball a little bit on this political stuff.
In terms of the practical matters, it really doesn't mean a thing, because the fact of the matter is, this isn't going to change the fact that whether it's a Democrat or an independent, number one, the session's almost over. That means that other than last-minute votes and possible special sessions, it won't mean much. The other thing, the reason why it won't mean much, is that the Democrats in the House have been virtually powerless because there's not even a third of them. They can't stop anything all the Republicans get together and want to do. And with a few notable exceptions, the Republicans have been pretty lockstep. So this is interesting, and it's kind of fun, and it's just this case just gets more and more ridiculous as it goes. The fact of the matter is, in practical terms, it doesn't really matter much.
Well, it does matter, I guess, if you are you point out that there are the Democrats are very much a minority in Phoenix. So I think they're thinking every Democrat is important up there in Phoenix.
Well, when you don't have at least one-third of them to stop the supermajority issue, really, no, they aren't important. I'm sorry, but they aren't.
Okay.
But the district is overwhelmingly Democrat in terms of, mm-hmm. you know, registered voters.
Sure.
So there is that in terms of the who they thought they were getting the philosophy and the points of view, the, being the Democratic Party line rather than someone who you may not know exactly because they're registered as an independent.
Exactly. But still, like I said, and I am actually in that district, and I think Daniel Patterson's been a debacle and a nightmare, and I'm glad he's gone. But, I just can't get too worked up over this. I think it's amusing, but there's much bigger issues and there's more serious things that can happen. And whether or not my new representative from LD-29 is a Democrat or an independent for the last moments of the legislature, there's other bigger fish to fry.
Well, let's talk a little bit about for the Republicans there anyway, a big fish to fry will be coming up Tuesday. Who will be facing Ron Barber in the special CD8 election? It was interesting, again, Sarah, to hear Jeff Rogers say that the two candidates who are still going ahead with their election, Matt Hines, Representative Matt Hines.
Right.
And I forget how
Nomiki Konst.
Konst, I think, is the way the young lady's name is pronounced. Konst. Jeff feels that if Ron wins the special election, that the other two would drop out and there would be this coalescing around Ron in the general election.
That could very well happen, and it's probably better for the party if it does. But I think the idea that we haven't seen them drop out yet. Steve Farley has dropped out, and so has Paula Abboud.
Yeah, yes. Paula Abboud.
Who have stepped aside and said, you know what, we're gonna withdraw right now. I think Matt Hines is probably waiting to see what happens, because if a Republican wins against Ron Barber in the June special election, that changes things all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a wait and see, and you can see how someone will come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, open seats are rare in Congress, and especially a seat like this that is going to, with, you know, when CD8 becomes CD2, it's going to be a little bit more Democratic friendly. The narrow advantage that Republicans have is pretty much going to disappear, and it's going to be pretty much an even split district, and that's really appealing to people. But if you look at the funding that Ron Barber has, I mean, that's impressive, the amount of money he's gotten out of the gate, and the fact that he is going to have Gabrielle Giffords behind him. I know everyone's talking about him moving away from January 8th and Gabrielle Giffords, but let's face it, that's going to be a part of this campaign. You can't escape it. You know, from a political standpoint, in terms of choices, I hope they stick with it, but I don't think they'd have a chance in heck against Ron Barber in a primary, either one of them.
Let's switch from politics. Well, I guess there's politics with everything. I was going to talk about the streetcar, which is now that, I guess there's certainly politics with that. SunLink will be the name of the Tucson's modern streetcar system, and the construction has begun and will go on for about 4 months. Congress Street being closed from Toole and Stone Avenues, and 4th Avenue closed between 6th Street and University Boulevard. Sarah, we're already hearing from some of the merchants along 4th anyway that the first week out of the gate, they're not at all happy.
Right. It's going to be – I mean, you can just look down 4th Avenue and there's no more road. And it's going to be really, really difficult for merchants to make it through what is already a difficult time of year, you know, the summer. So I guess it's better to do it in the summer when things are slow anyway, but not necessarily if you're a business person. It's going to be a real, real tough time economically. So I think, you know, people who care about these businesses and the 4th Avenue in the downtown area, remember that, you know, it might be more difficult to get there, but they do need your business.
I agree with that. And I think it's also important to remember that it's important to get there. I'll give you an example of this. Margaret Regan Buckmaster Show contributor, the dean of arts writers in Tucson, our arts editor.
Yes.
We're going to lunch next week, and we were discussing going to Hotel Congress for lunch, and she's like, well, geez, you know, getting down there might be tough. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. But we just both agree that we're just going to go up from the south and park over near Armory Park or wherever and walk over to Hotel Congress because we want to give them our business. And I think it's important for civic-minded Tucsonans to remember that it's going to be hard, but it's not going to be that hard. You're talking about walking an extra block, maybe spending an extra 2 minutes in your car. And I think that in terms of the boosterism part here, you know, we need to support downtown and Fourth Avenue during this time because the streetcar is happening whether or not you like it. And you know, support the businesses there and make sure that they can make it through this.
And I just need to say, in terms of the name, the Sunlink, maybe it's just me, but I can't help but think of like Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp. And so,
Are you bolstering your nerd credentials there, Sarah?
I think I am. It's just all coming out now.
I want to talk a little bit about the very it's kind of a rowdy session, wasn't it, for TUSD the governing board
meeting. I'd say a smoke bomb counts as rowdy.
Yeah, that certainly is the case, and that the vote that came late Tuesday not to renew the contract of the Mexican-American Studies director, and folks not at all happy that we're at the meeting. And it's very interesting. We have a contributor here on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Robert Hendricks, longtime educator, and we were talking yesterday on the show, Jimmy Bogle, about what Dr. Hendricks believes, and he's been around this community for a long time in the educational community, believes is unprecedented, the letter that was sent to the governing board by the 10, and these are very prominent people, that former board members, including Congressman Raul Grijalva and others, that really took to task the TUSD governing board.
And I think that was a very interesting and noteworthy thing as well, because I think the thing that's gotten lost on both sides, for that matter, in this debate is the history behind Mexican-American studies, why it came in. We ran a guest commentary from Jim Christ, who is one of the folks who helped get it going back,
and one
I believe,
of the 10 signers
yes.
of this letter.
I think he was. And,
no,
and
he was.
He
one
was,
of the
okay.
Signers.
And they're talking about, look, we created this to solve a problem. In their eyes, at least, it was working. And the fact that the district basically, when faced with this law coming down from the state that many people believe is racist, that's up for debate. Basically, they just said, okay, fine, and they weren't willing to back it up. And, you know, now the program is in tatters and shambles, and it's ugly. And you know, this is a big deal to a lot of people in this community. And I think that the elections going on for TUSD this year are going to be very interesting because, I mean – It's also, you know, Michael Hicks, I think, royally embarrassed himself as well.
And that could have probably was the catalyst, Sarah, for the letter.
Well, I think it probably was. But this kind of thing, I'm sure, has been brewing for a while. People, you know, speaking privately and then deciding, let's just go ahead and make this public. Every time I think of Michael Hicks now, I get hungry for a burrito, and I don't really quite understand why. But in terms of the past board members speaking out and writing a letter of this magnitude to the current board members, I've been covering TUSD long enough to know that things haven't been quite to this level publicly, but things were not all happy and sunshine throughout the years of previous governing boards too. So I think we need to remember that this is
a troubled district.
Well, it's happening in a long continuum of very political wrangling and goings on, and people with different constituencies within the district. And so while it is noteworthy that they're coming forward and doing this, I bet you could probably have found people, you know, from the previous boards who wanted to write letters to some of the boards of the 90s and 2000s.
And I think the phrasing used is very interesting, a troubled district. I mean, the fact that Mexican-American studies has become such a big issue, I think, has actually masked a lot of the other issues that TUSD has been dealing with for years. Their precipitous drop in enrollment, their failure to get E-rate funds until recently, the fact that they've gone through so many different superintendents. TUSD is in many ways a troubled district, and I think that fact has gotten pushed aside because Mexican-American studies has become such a big deal.
And I also want to point out that the Mexican American Studies program was doing a great service to many students. But if you look in terms of the percentage of the Latino students in Tucson Unified School District, it's a very small percentage of the kids who chose to take those classes. So I think the larger problem that we need to address as a community is how to increase the quality of education for all students, especially Latino students who, even though they're in the majority within the TUSD school district, they're not receiving the same quality of education, or the achievement problems, at least on paper, are still there. And it's a much bigger problem than just a certain set of classes.
Absolutely.
How does this district move forward? I think that's the next question.
I don't think that question is really going to get answered, I hate to say it, until the elections this year, when we see if these recalls get some traction behind them. And the recall effort for Hicks, whose term is not up, I've heard has gotten a lot of traction since the Daily Show debacle. And so I think that going to the polls this year for folks who are in the TUSD boundaries, that's going to be one of the big things that determines where this district goes.
And for a lot of people, the big story of the week is that Pima County is freeing up money for roads and pothole repair.
Yes, they are. Everyone loves a good pothole filling story. I just drove down Abrego Drive this morning in Green Valley just to check it out. I live in the area, and it's not as bad as I thought it would be for being on that list. So I guess they're doing it one tiny bit at a time.
That's a start, though.
One shovel full at a time. Sarah and Jimmy, both of you, have a great weekend. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Coming up, the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, the man we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser. Matt is always looking for a good meal. We'll find out where he's eating these days. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Of course, that music, Twist and Shouting by the Pool, always heralds another lovely weekend in the Old Pueblo, and it also is the signature music for the man we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser. He is our Weekend Watch reporter, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you today?
Doing great. As you know, I spent a few days in San Diego last week, and I have to end up back in the car and drive that lovely stretch of Interstate 8 back home to Tucson. But you know, I was just telling your producer, Rose, it always is wonderful to come back home to the Old Pueblo.
Yeah, isn't it, though? And I think some of the people were, a few raised eyebrows when they saw the bumper sticker, the new bumper sticker that you have on the Russell Mobile that was parked at Russell Public Communications in the foothills this morning. And I believe it says, "I'm always hungry. Show me the way to a good meal."
That's right. And if people follow me, you know, the restaurants are going to be completely overwhelmed because we know that I only go to the best.
And they will be following you to the Main Gate Square Festival.
Absolutely. 10 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the evening, Saturday and Sunday, Main Gate Square Art Festival. It's going to have art in a variety of mediums all across Main Gate Square, which is that lovely stretch of deliciousness on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. There's going to be live music, art demonstrations, and of course, great food from more than 20 of the Main Gate restaurants like Sinbad's Mediterranean Cuisine, Gentle Ben's, The Fat Greek, and of course, one of my favorites, Kababacue Indian Grill. Bill, for art and food enthusiasts all across Southern Arizona, this is the best event of the weekend.
Yeah, I know. Once you start walking on University, wow, you're going to find several meals, aren't you?
Yes. Follow your nose is the best place to be.
Hey, how about some Brazilian carnival?
Yeah, I love it, Bill. You know, the second Saturday event every month is always such a blast downtown, but tomorrow, this month's second Saturday, is going to be really transformed into this Brazilian carnival theme. Organizers say the Congress Street is going to resemble a tropical nation with regional music and coastal-inspired foods, and that got the cruiser's attention. The event is going to kick off with a Brazilian-inspired procession at about 5 o'clock, and you're going to be hearing Brazilian music along with jazz and Dixieland and Latin funk. Now, I was told, Bill, in Brazil, the country virtually shuts down during the entire stretch of carnival. So I'm wondering, should I close my office a little bit early today just to prepare?
Well, I think you should, and I don't think anybody would be surprised if you did. And I know your employees would be very happy to perhaps exit a half an hour early, because normally I know you watch them like a hawk, and they're not allowed to leave until exactly 5 o'clock.
That's what punch cards are for, Bill Buckmaster. So we're going from a 2-margarita Friday to a 3-margarita Friday, I think.
What else? Something going on at Hacienda del Sol. That's one of your favorite locations.
It really is, and it's really one of my favorite events of the entire year. It's now in its 12th year, and if you think about three of the best things in life all packaged together into one event, it's the annual Zen Blues and Barbecue this Sunday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the beautiful Hacienda del Sol. They're calling it Tucson's biggest backyard barbecue, and you're going to get some of the best barbecue around, sample more than 40 wines, and most of those are going to be Zinfandels, which pair beautifully with spicy barbecue. Live entertainment by the best blues band in town, I think, the Grahams and the Krieger Band, all in the beautiful courtyards of the Hacienda del Sol, and the weather is expected to be spectacular. I don't know that I've missed this event in 11 years, and I'll surely be there on Sunday. And, Bill, there's just a few tickets remaining. Encourage your listeners to get on the phone. Call 529-3500 to make your reservations for Zin Blues and Barbecue on Sunday.
You're going to have that special ribs bib that you wear for the...
We call it the commemorative Buckmaster bib.
There you go.
Every time I don it, people say, oh, you must be listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show.
Yeah. Congratulations. You'll be the celebrity auctioneer Saturday night. Quick plug for that, Matt Russell.
Yeah, great. The American Cancer Society is going to have their Jubilee Gala on Saturday night up at the Westin La Paloma. I'm going to be the auctioneer, and Bill, there isn't a wallet that is safe in the community when I'm on stage. We're going to be raising a lot of money for a great cause, the American Cancer Society.
Good for you, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. The Buckmaster Show also is made brought to you by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a very safe weekend. We will be back with you here on AM 1030 KBOI, The Voice, with The Buckmaster Show on Monday. Have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.